Vandita, Vandita, Cone, Cheetah, Velveeta, Lupitason, Urita, Diarita, Wisdom. And I am here on another fun-tabulous episode of my favorite program. Not really. It's called Eat This Hot Show. And I'm joined not only by my personalities, but of course the other two ladies that are with me, not really, in the studio. Madge Weinstein of Yeast Radio.
Hi.
And Miss Fancy Pants, Vera, no stranger to controversy, Charles of AntiVeraSpeaks.com.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Oh, apparently she's gone Cheryl for the program, which is just fine because that would mean she's got an act finally.
Because that would mean she might be actually funny.
Ow. Ow.
So, okay, ladies, what's going on in your
world? We've set the tone of this
world?
Program. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shut up. I was talking. I'm the host. You need to bow to me. Mm-hmm. So, sardines, good or bad for the environment? Discuss.
I have no idea.
There's a wonderful museum, a wax museum in Monterey, California, which is really an interesting wax museum because it isn't of celebritards. It is the history of Monterey and Monterey Bay, and it's tableaus with wax figures that are really realistic, and then there's this, you follow the soundtrack, basically, and it tells you which tableau to move to, and at one point towards the end of the Monterey Bay story, they're talking about John Steinbeck, and they're talking about how the sardines all got fished out because they were so overfished, and someone asked... where did all the sardines go? And Steinbeck said, into the cans, I guess.
So why would they be... Is it really an issue?
Wow, did you really just pull that out of your ass?
Uh-huh, and I got the stink to prove it.
Is there really an issue with sardines, or are you just... Did you just say that at random?
I'm sitting here staring at a can of King Oscar sardines, Mediterranean style, which are my favorite little guilty pleasure.
Where were they canned? It's not a question of is it bad for the environment. It's a question of where were they canned and what did the Chinese put in you?
Actually, these were packed in Poland, but that doesn't mean they were fished in Poland, I guess.
No, I'm talking about, but I was reading something about how, like, you shouldn't get things that are canned.
Where the hell would they fish them if they packed them in Poland?
Well, I mean, it's the same reason we would buy, you know, things all the way from China that didn't originate in China, I guess.
Auschwitz.
Auschwitz. Yeah, leftover.
Auschwitz is now a salmon farm, or what is it, sardine farm.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
God, you two are so damn gullible. I cannot believe the two of you. Really? You're kidding. Really? Honest? I'm trying to stir up some controversy here.
Just be yourself.
Okay.
Flap doodle. Well, I'm glad that that topic went over real well. Okay, moving right along. And well, excuse me, I didn't realize you were the Barbara Walters of, you know, good topics.
Uh-huh.
You, Wanda, you said in your email before the show you have lots to talk about, so go.
Yes, so I'm waiting.
I didn't know it was sardines.
But did you notice there was an ellipsis after that statement? It said, I think, maybe not.
Well, last program you said you wanted to talk about men's, but we didn't have time.
Well, yeah, I was just going to talk about men's and sex and how I don't understand it, and I still feel like I'm, like, retarded when it comes to dating.
Go, girl.
I don't really know that I have much to say other than that. I'm retarded. How do people do it?
We're all retarded.
Well, let's cut to the
think?
Chase, Wanda. You were dating somebody who tucks in his pants into shorty shorts.
I didn't hear this story.
It's not a story. It's a picture.
Oh, there was a picture. He tucks his pants into shorty shorts?
I have no idea.
She dumped his ass.
What you talking about?
She was dating this mess who wears short shorts with the shirt tucked in.
Oh, that's very 70s.
Oh, okay. So I now give up my duty as host.
Cheryl showed me the pictures. I know.
It was an unfortunate clothing opportunity. He was just struck by the moment, you know, the celebration and the
didn't they have like little buttons on the fly area?
No, it was a pirate lace up crotch.
My Cavalt.
Why anybody thought that was a good, but you know, again, hey, I've had fashion faux pas.
And if he had like a hot body, that would have been, you know, a lot more interesting because they could, you know, but it would look like a mine, basically.
A what?
Mine. My body.
Oh, no. Bloat. You're quite fabulous.
Right.
Not so much. Yeah, no, see, you know, I don't know. Men. God, I'm just so not eloquent today. I apologize. I'll get going. You got to give me something.
Just tell us what you're trying to spit out, but you're weaseling around. There's something going on. What is it?
I do that.
You got
all the time.
Anal warts.
Because I do this. It goes, no, I don't actually. Nor do I have herpes, nor do I have
complex, nor simplex.
Well, I have it on my lips, but I've had that since I was a child.
You got that some on your lips?
My lips.
So does my gooch. My gooch has lip herpes. Yeah.
Lippies.
You know what? Well, you don't have to take drugs. You know what will cure you of that if you, like, like I've suffered with it all my life,
Xanax.
And I finally found what
Lethicin?
Works. No. Oh yes. No, lysine.
Well, that's what it is. Lysine. I'm sorry. Yes, lysine. Absolutely.
Well, lysine for your lips.
Lats of amino lysine. Acids.
Lysine, Minnelli. Blame it on Papa.
Anyway, so okay. Here's the thing. How you know? Because okay. This is what it seems to be for me. The options to find men are go online. Or go online.
Oh, okay. I can totally dig this topic because
this
is one of my favorites too. Because, you know, well, I'm talking about women, but I can draw an analogy because, you know, I'm a lesbian and everything.
Mm. You've done research.
But I have the same fucking problem because I refuse to do that online dating. I just can't do it. It's like, I used to do it when I would sniff cocaine and then like I'd be up all night in with weird kinky fantasies from being a cocaine pervy. And I was like, and I'd meet these strangers and it was just so icky and they all lie and you have to have pictures of just your body parts. And plus I'm afraid somebody I know will find me and I'll be like, ugh. And you know, it's just a really bad scene. And I just want to meet somebody in person. I mean, there's certainly enough opportunities to, but it's like nobody, dating isn't a possibility when you're in person. In social situations, it's just not. I guess people just assume it's not going to happen unless you're on the computer. Because
don't you think
what's fucking happening to me. I am like, my gaydar's dead when I'm out.
So, for example, I will go out on the town and say, I want to look at some pretty men. And I will spend time in an establishment that attracts lots of those types of men.
Okay.
And I will, you know, people
like
will wink. They will wink and nod and they'll even like stare at you uncomfortably all night long. But okay. God forbid they would come up to you. And then you go online after you get home from said establishment and then they're all chatty. It's like, wait a minute. What is this really about?
This is exactly why I want to leave this country, among other reasons.
Is it different elsewhere, though?
Leaving the country.
It is very, very specifically an American thing. Everywhere else I've been, when you make eye contact with somebody, they make eye contact with you back.
Yeah, well, you're in a park with your panties pulled down and your skirt up around your shoulders. No wonder you're getting eye contact.
No, that's lip contact.
Layups.
But, yeah.
So you really think it's a cultural thing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know,
not to say that it doesn't suck,
but you know what I even noticed?
But it doesn't
I'll
suck,
tell you,
and
when
that's
I was
the problem.
When I was in, that was a bad joke, but it's okay. We're full of them here on the program. When I was in New York, I had a very different experience. Maybe because it was just new to me, but I found people to be extremely, not friendlier. I think I've said this before. Not necessarily friendlier, but much more like if you make eye contact, you actually say hello.
Well, you know, the other part of it really, truly is that it traveling does something, and it makes people a lot more horny and a lot more outgoing. And, you know, that's part of it too, because I find like I have a little bit more action lesbian lip wise in when I go to Miami, and that's this country, or Fort Lauderdale for that matter. Miami's I consider part of South America. Shit, I think I have my headphones up too loud. Vera's gonna hate me editing.
I am gonna kick your ass if I hear myself echoed.
Okay, well, I don't blame you for not wanting to hear your own voice.
Oh, the love. Can you feel the love tonight?
In your butt.
In my butt tonight.
It's like this. Fuck you, my little lovies. Why don't you all get fucked, you stupid fucks? I hate you, you fucking lovies. You motherfuckers. I wish you'd say that. Fuck
you
all.
You know, that's a very interesting thing that you bring up, because I brought this up. I just did a show with Gooch that I posted this morning, and I brought this topic up that people think that my persona on Vera Speaks is the phony one, and that this one on Eat This Hot Show is the real one. And it's actually just the opposite. But also,
it's all phony.
Yeah, it's all phony. Here's the deal. On Eat This Hot Show, I've got two of you coming at me with verbal baseball bats, and then also the comments that come after it. And so it's kind of an antagonistic...
But see, I don't think you're so nicey-nice on your show. I mean, you call people lovies, but then you
I'm
like tell
nicey-nice.
People that they're all going to get old and die, so enjoy your being good-looking for 10 seconds and then fuck off. You're going to be fat like me or you're going to be dead.
Yeah.
Now, that's something I would say, but it's also something you say on your show, only you call them lovies and I call them assholes.
Right. I think that basically I'm not...
And I call them people.
I'm not
saccharine sweet. That's all we really are.
At all.
No, you're not. You're definitely not. I think there's some sarcasm in the lovies. But that's just me.
Well, you're over-medicated.
I am not over-medicated.
Well, see, this is why I enjoy being
Fuck
on this
you.
Program so much. Is that... Okay, I'm talking now.
Okay. Wanda's talking
because
now, Madge.
Because I like
I know she's talking.
Oh, can you hear her?
God. Yes, I hear her. Now shut up so she can talk.
Oh, all right. Let's give her an opportunity to talk. Go ahead, Wanda.
All right.
As I was saying, I really love this program. And by love it, I mean I want to fucking kill you both. But no, actually, I enjoy this program because like Madge has this wonderful way of just... She allows me to sort of, you know, cut through all the bullshit and... pulls me out of myself.
Like when I reveal that your boyfriend has
pants
and a penis and pirate lips or whatever you called it. What did you call this?
I just don't even want to tell you what Puffy called. Well, I just shouldn't even go there.
What? What did she call him? I think I remember, but I forgot.
I would so much rather you say it.
Can you type it on the Skype and I'll say it? Accidentally?
Yes.
I mean, you can deny.
How do I send you a
right click on my fucking name and you know
oh,
how to do
oh.
this. I was so incredibly shocked yesterday because Vera actually figured out how to do a gravatar.
Drop to your knees and stick my dick and balls in your mouth right now.
What?
Oh, grossy. I just picture a big old vagina. Oh, my God. So Cheryl referred to Wanda's ex in the shorty shorts as, she said, well, it's like pudding in a paper bag.
Aww.
That's
no, that's
terrible.
Not very nice.
She is so rude. You would not believe the number of times that I had to correct her.
That is horrible.
I know, it's absolutely just disturbing. And it really wasn't that bad. I mean, he looks very nice. I don't generally go around dating
people. How did he look naked?
He looked fine, you know.
In the dark.
Did Did he look like
ass?
Did he look like pudding in a white paper sack?
When he was Wanda, naked? Do you have low self-esteem? Is that why you like to date ugly people? Talk about cutting to the chase.
Let it go. Let it go, honey. We feel your pain. Let it go.
Because that's how I'm reading it, honestly. You've gone through some major body dysmorphia. You were fat. Now you're thin.
Maybe you're
still expecting to be attracted to ugly people, which of course you are, but you can also be attracted to
good
people.
He's very, very cute.
Did you hear Lady Raptastic talking
about
she's so like, why this Fez is so ugly? Damn, she got ugly friend. Oh, I almost fell out.
And just for the record, because I don't want to be shot in my sleep, he's very cute and attractive.
For a bag of pudding.
He just picked out the wrong clothes, truly.
No, truly, he was trying to... He did... Okay,
he was like
anybody,
Tom Cruise.
Anybody that would stick... that would try to tuck a shirt into shorts. That's just
yeah. I mean, I really have more of an issue with the shirt tucking in more than anything else.
Yeah,
because it's I was saying to Cheryl, how could the fuck? Okay, I understand straight men with kids. You know, they're busy with their families and they're in their suburbs and their little world. I can understand them still tucking in their pants into their khaki shorts. I understand that. But for a gay man to still tuck in their shirt and have a tight belt,
yeah, no,
that's, there's no excuse for that.
And this is what you were talking about on your show about what we are duty bound to do on our podcast is talk about things that matter, like fashion.
Yeah. No, but you know,
like gay fashion that matters, huh, Madge? Because that's going to stop Fiza.
You don't get it. You don't get it.
No, and you know what? Are you an Est? I don't get it.
What?
All these little clubs where you don't
I'm
get it.
I'm not an Est. Est is over. That was over in the 70s.
So was
Est.
I. Yeah, that's true.
These old ladies have gone way over my head at this point.
And besides, we're not talking about pop culture. I was talking about pop culture. And you know what? You don't have to talk about it all the fucking time, but you do have to talk about some things that are real.
No, absolutely.
You know? And we certainly do that on this show.
We do. We absolutely do. What was
Why
I just
are you
watching?
So intent on attacking me? I have done nothing to you. Nothing. You just broke up on the wrong side of the fucking bed, you bitch.
Maybe you know
I think
that
it's
could
called,
be true.
I think it's well, called looking in the mirror and, you know.
What'd you say?
Having to put up with that for another day, perhaps. I don't know.
Putting up with what? Being fat? What?
What she sees in the mirror.
Oh, listen, honey, that is tough. Let me tell you. You're not exaggerating there. I still walk by the mirror and go, Jesus Christ, what the hell was that?
Listen, I burned all of my character defects in a bonfire with drag queens this weekend.
Didn't
work.
So
I'm nice now. So anything Vera says that's mean is completely unprovoked.
Did not work.
No, it did. I'm nice.
Are you?
I do kind of feel like I'm coming out of my shell a little bit. Like yesterday, I shared something on my program.
Share with us.
Yeah, I listened, but what was it again? I forgot.
I was talking about my ex who I never used to talk about. Not the one that I just broke up with, but the one that I was with for a year.
The one when you first came on with the show and had, right?
Yeah, and I said, like, the best sex we ever had was after we broke up, and I was like, I can't believe I just said that out loud, but it was so true.
Well, the best sex I had with Gussie was after she was dead.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Over the fucking line one more time.
That's not a character defect.
Oh, I'm just so glad that you're on this program, because then I just have something to feel better about myself.
Right. And what about me? What do I do for the program for you? I know
program.
You. Huh? No, you were talking about Vera. I was wondering what.
No,
I'm
talking about you.
Oh.
I'm saying I'm glad you're on the program because you know, it's all up from.
Yeah, the only way is up. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I don't
that's
know.
Song?
I'm retarded.
That's dandy. That's just dandy.
I have a little bit of good news.
What?
Gooch and I are going to get officially married.
Wow.
Are you really?
That's wonderful. Yeah. Congratulations. When is it?
We're going to, on our anniversary, which is August the 13th, is our 25th anniversary, and so we're going to get married on August the 13th.
Oh, my.
Now, are you going to vote to against Proposition 8?
Well, you know, I've registered as each party so that I can get all the primary ballots. I'm really involved this year, and I want to read all the propositions, and I want to make sure that I'm well informed before I go to the ballot box this year.
Mm. So what are you going to do for the wedding? Are you going to have a ceremony? Are you going to have a religious thing? What are you doing?
You opened a big question can with that one, because I am so conflicted about this. I cannot tell you.
Well, I know you aren't a fan of religion of any kind.
Yeah, so there wouldn't
is Grinch.
It's basic. No, we're both completely. You know, atheist is too organized. We both completely believe that we don't have any concept of what this is about. I don't know what you call that.
It's called apathy.
It's called agnostic.
Agnostic is saying that there's possibilities that it could be anything, and I believe very strongly of what it cannot be. There's no way in hell that it hell isn't that ironic. There's no way in hell that it's God and Jesus and all that bullshit. This is man-made.
How
crap.
Do you know?
Because
How
it's man-made know? Crap. I know. I know.
But that's what agnostic means, though. It's like agnostic also means like there was a who was that guy? Oh, there was a. I had it on Insane Films. It's still out there. What's that famous guy who writes about atheism?
I know who you're talking about. But
he's
I can't
extremely
remember
atheist.
His name.
I forget his name. Dawkins is his name. Richard Dawkins. So, but he uses this argument. He's like, to say you're an atheist, everybody's an atheist because there's because atheist just means you don't believe in God, but in a God. But there's a million different gods. There's an infinite number of gods. So if you believe, and they always use the example of the flying spaghetti monster. So if you believe, if one person believes there's a flying spaghetti monster who's God, and you don't believe in it, but you believe in Jesus, then you're an atheist. So the whole labeling is kind of meaningless.
Yeah, it's always troubled me. I don't have a word for what I am.
Stupid bitch, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, well, that too. But I don't know. If you really truly want an answer to your original question, flannel-mouthed cunt, I can probably give you one.
What was the original question? I'm just so completely lost.
What we're going to do, we're going to do for a ceremony.
So what are you going to do? Yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm very conflicted. If we do something like we have this... lady,
I'm sorry, I made a joke. I'm like, I'm conflicted too. I've been flicking my cunt all day. Sorry, I know it's not funny, but it just made me laugh at myself. Go ahead.
I don't have anything
conflicted.
To say.
Oh, get over it. What do you really want to do?
I swear to God, I will not interrupt you, even though.
Can I just say?
I don't care. Go ahead, Wanda.
What are you conflicted about? I mean, come on. What do you want to do?
Here's what I'm conflicted about. I'm conflicted about if we do something at our house here. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it's a fucking wedding. And I
no,
and
you
I
don't
just
need to do it at your house.
And the
you
other thing
you don't want
is,
that many people to come to your house. Trust me.
Okay. The other thing is if we go to the office of the county clerk, it's going to be really sterile. And this is, you know, this is an incredibly special thing. So the thing I'm conflicted about is making it special enough to recognize it,
well,
but not.
So you just have it somewhere outside, it's just somewhere that's not the city hall, not a church, and not your house. There's plenty of options there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so. But that's what's going. When you asked the go ahead, darling.
Good.
Go ahead, darling.
How much are you going to spend?
Well, you know, that's another issue. I mean, this lady that Gooch fell in love with corresponding with this minister lady, is completely non-religious minister lady. She wants $300.
Wait a minute. What the hell is a non-religious minister lady?
Well, you know, I mean, like, well, there. In other words, she will perform a short ceremony that doesn't have anything to do with any kind of religion whatsoever. It's just a commitment.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything, darling.
How much are you going to pay her?
She wants $300.
Is it the same rules about? I mean, they have the same marriage as straight couples. So there's a million different types of people that can actually marry.
Exactly.
Like a justice of the peace, right?
True. Anybody that has the official is an ordained minister of whatever church or like a county official can do it as well.
Well, I can get one of those mail order lesbian reverend things. A lot of friends of mine are reverends, and I can marry you. But I charge a lot more than $300.
Well, I was going to say, I would think if you're not particularly religious, why would you want to pay somebody who's...
Because you have to pay somebody to do it, unless you're going to do it at City Hall, right?
Exactly. And the prices range, you know, from like we've gotten $175 all the way up to $400. So, and we also have a friend who's ordained who can do it for nothing. But and he's not a friend; he's an acquaintance. And but you know, it's just like again, I don't know how to really describe what I'm feeling here, and I don't want to make a big deal out of it because I'll feel silly, frankly. But I also don't want to just have like an acquaintance of ours say, okay, now you're married. You know, I don't know how to describe what I'm feeling inside, but it's
so
like, it's
you really want, well, just face it. You really want a wedding and you might as well just go all out. It's a big, make it a big party. Why not?
What's I don't know. I think you might want to keep it pretty like semi-private, like movie star private, because you're a very private person. You have to keep your identity. You're very set on keeping your identity private and away from this podcasting separate from RL. So yes. I think maybe having a big old wedding could be a big mistake because it could violate that boundary and maybe some other boundaries that I don't even know about. Like
I don't
your hymen.
Know. My hymen, that's true. Thank you. My sweet husband just brought me my tea. I love you.
Speaking of hymen busting...
Yeah, so
I you said hump.
Hump. Hump. So, you know,
I always thought you had a hump.
Clitoris.
Madge has a hump or I have a hump?
Clitoris.
You have a hump.
I'm flicking the bean.
No,
I'm conflicted, sorry.
Enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Every time I say conflicted, it just stops Vera in her tracks. She can't handle it.
Who said I can't handle it? Conflicted. I can't. What I've heard, you know, when you hear it 9,000 times, it isn't funny anymore. You know, things lose their humor after a while, and you know, making every T into a K, and everything's turd, and everything's cunt. You know, it's
I love it. Though.
It's fucking old.
Right. Buy gold in all caps is hilarious. Though.
I stopped, didn't I? I stopped.
When did you stop? Last night?
No. I stopped a long time ago because there was one time
I think the phrase,
when you really got pissed
heal
off.
Thyself is very
There is nothing wrong with repetition for comedic purposes. If you look at a lot of the longest running hilarious comedies have used, you know, repetitive devices. I think look at the
Cheryl.
One I've just been watching, Cheryl. No, well, bad example. Keeping Up Appearances. I mean, everything was a repetitive shtick there. When she'd answer
Puffy.
The phone, hello, the bouquet residence, the lady of the house speaking. And every time her sister Violet would call, every single time, it's my sister Violet, the one with the Mercedes, a sauna, and room for a pony.
I guess you
every
to see it
single
for real,
episode
huh?
The same thing.
And her Royal Doulton with the hand-painted periwinkles.
Yes. Yeah.
Elizabeth!
Oh, right. Well, anyway, I hope you figure it out soon since it's next month. Jesus Christ.
It's coming up like a fucking freight train. But
God.
I'm the one who insisted that it be August the 13th because I don't want two anniversaries. You know, I don't want, this is our regular anniversary, and then this is when we got married.
Oh, I see. Does it fall on a weekday?
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
You know what? Just go to the Justice of the Peace and leave everyone alone.
Leave everyone alone.
It's too soon. You don't have time to plan anything other than that.
Why do you people got to rub your face or rub our face?
I've had a couple of friends. My friend Raina, she lives in Paris with her French boyfriend. A lot of foreign couples have to do it. So they had their big wedding in France, which I went to, and I got really yelled at for having the gall to eat cheese without wine. And shut up! And
people with problems in France?
No, they're all perfect. And so when she came to America, so she could be legally married here, and she just went to City Hall and brought like half dozen people with her at City Hall, which was fine. And then we had a little reception at her house, with people, you know, a pitch-in when they brought food. It didn't cost nothing.
A potluck reception.
Yeah, with Peruvian food.
Oh. That's cute. You could wear like a little pillbox hat.
I kind of want to, It's really tough. I mean, I kind of want to have my parents there, you know, but I don't even know if my parents would be uncomfortable with it. I mean, they don't talk like they're uncomfortable with it, and they love Gooch more than they love me, which is fine.
So do I.
Well, you know, everybody does. Any time, you know, that we meet people, they go away loving Gooch, and it's like, who was Gooch with?
The thing.
The thing.
All right, really, seriously, though, and yes, enough about me.
Well, I think that's great, though. I mean, I really do. I think that's great, as long as you do it somehow, you know?
Yeah, and like the reason that, since I'm talking about me again, the reason that Gooch said he wanted to do it is because he really wants to, because there's going to be hell to pay if the amendment comes and passes with all the people that have been married, because a law can't come along and change what has already been. So the more people that get married, the more trouble that amendment is going to have if it passes. And so that's other than loving me, that's one of the main reasons that Gooch wants to, you know, make our union.
Oh, so one little act could make a change.
I thought of the Grinch last week when I was... Huh?
According to him, he feels very strongly about that kind of stuff, Wanda. I do not, but, you know, I haven't talked about that much. I try to keep that stuff to myself. Go ahead.
I thought of the Grinch last week because something kind of funny happened to me, and it reminded me of what that story you told about how you were at Gay Pride, and he asked, well, why don't you film some normal people?
Not normal.
Well, I was walking home with Trotsky. I had taken him on a really long walk and went to the... I was in a pretty good mood last week. And I don't know if you guys remember, but a long time ago, maybe a year or a year and a half ago, there was I live next to this street, a historic street full of mansions, huge mansions. And the street directly adjacent to our building is this horrible white colonial house. And they're insane, literally. And they put rat poisoning out on their little, on the public side of the street where all the grass grows. And because they were tired of dogs shitting on that part of the street, which doesn't even belong to them.
Oh, my God.
So they put boxes of rat poison all over it. One dog had to go to the hospital and, you know, almost bled to death. But the rest of them, well, basically 10 people or so saw these people putting it out there. And so they called the police. They had to go. You know, they didn't go to jail, but they had to pay huge fines. And it was a huge issue in the neighborhood, obviously. I mean, who heard of such a thing? And you know, they ended up digging up. They had to dig up the entire part of the street and put gravel on because it was completely toxic. So anyway, so I was walking home and I'm walking past this house and I see there's a Channel 2 reporter there and he's live, like live on the air. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And he had his little monitor there and then they put him on live with the light and he starts talking. I couldn't hear what he was saying. But as soon as the light went off, I went up to him, and I probably should have done this with the light on, but even I don't have that much chutzpah. I mean, to go in front of a live camera and disturb it would have been great. But as soon as he went off and the lights went off, I said, "Oh, don't forget to tell them about how they tried to poison all the dogs in the neighborhood with rat poison." And well, he didn't.
He wasn't interested.
He was very interested in the story, and we talked about it for a few minutes. But he had no idea. So I told him, and he didn't know who lived there either. I don't understand why. There was some murder like 18 years ago they were reporting on. I have no idea what it was, but it was something.
A wife poisoned her husband with rat poison.
I mean, it was the evening news on the Channel 2, which is the CBS affiliate, so it was must have been a big story. And anyway, never mind. It reminded me of
my Gooch.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh. Well, I'm really glad that you got that out and hope, you know, later.
Yeah,
today
I thought it would be
better.
More interesting than it was, but it would have been interesting if it actually was on the news.
You want to talk more about me?
No. Really. So I was reading the latest issue of The Economist.
Oh, this is going to be a fun topic.
No, it really is. Actually, I was reading this thing about global institutions and how basically all of our global institutions are basically defunct and like pointless and serve no purpose because of the way the world has changed.
Which global institutions?
You know, like the UN, the G7, like, well, basically in terms of the UN, like the Security Council, mm-hmm. And
the
how
Benevolent Order of Antelopes.
You know, the way that
Barry Manilow.
You've got these countries on the Security Council. Oh God!
I'm
okay.
listening.
You
go
can
ahead.
All just
no,
shit
just
it
go.
Out.
Just go.
Basically, you've got countries in the Security Council that have far more power than they probably wield in the rest of the world economically and in terms of, you know, military power. So
right.
it's just this kind of odd mix. It's like the times have changed and the uh-huh. situation has changed, but the institutions haven't changed. And like McCain is talking about, he wants to start this League of Democracies. And
which countries is it going to pick? Obviously not this one.
Well, of course. Well, and also, you know, like I heard the story about the ICC, International Criminal Court, mm-hmm. and how we're not, you know, we're not involved with that. So it's basically like, you know, the largest economy in the world isn't. So basically, I guess I'm saying it's interesting, and just it made me think about where we're going as.
Well, you know, The Economist a lot of times is. I mean, I like when they talk about certain economics, but you have to take a lot of what they say with a grain of salt because their political agenda is huge. So they really get a lot of attitudes against like things like, you know, when people are anti-globalization and stuff. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that sounds like a typical economist point of view where they take something to an extreme like that.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, it's true, though, in the sense that, like, you've got, you know, like you've got Britain and France. Where was the example that just... I mean, it's mm-hmm. clear that like, the Security Council and then the G7, for example, mm-hmm. You've got basically all these countries holding on to power and not wanting to give up power, and then you've got these other countries that have assumed a certain amount of economic power but have no, you know, political say in the way... these yeah. institutions work, but I don't know.
Well,
like,
you know
there's
what?
Nobody from Africa. There's nobody from the Middle East, you know, China and other parts of Asia. I mean, you know,
Barry
there's
Manilow.
Just.
Well, there's this huge other access of power that we just sort of pretend isn't there, which includes like Venezuela, includes Iran, it includes Russia, it includes
Brazil.
Is Brazil powerful now too? I didn't know that.
Well, aren't they powerful with... whether it's oil or other natural resources,
they're good at waxing.
I don't know. Yeah, they do. They do the waxing. What about this Obama cover thing? What do you guys think about this controversy?
That's a good topic.
What's the cover?
It's the one where they show him. It's on the cover of the New Yorker, and it's supposed to be satire. Mm-hmm. Of him dressed as a Muslim and his wife as a terrorist and the flags in the fire and Obama or Osama bin Laden is framed over the fireplace. Mm-hmm. I think it's ill-timed. And I think it's going to backfire in the sense that because the cover is everywhere and because 90% of the people in this country can't find their ass with both hands are
and don't
going to
get sarcasm or
and
irony.
Yeah, they don't understand sarcasm in the least. They're going to think, yeah, I knew it. That darky,
yeah, but
that
me,
darky
it's,
is a Muslim.
Yeah,
and that darky's wife, she's going to shoot it. They're all going to turn it into a darky nation. That's what they're going to do. And it's
I
on
really
a magazine
don't think
cover.
I don't think it's the obligation.
But it's one of them funny magazines. It's one of them elitist magazines. With
no,
people
no, I don't know what that word elitist means, but I'll tell you something. If it's from New York, that means they know what they're talking about over there. And that says New York right on that cover, and that means they know that darky's a Muslim. I told you he was.
Right.
I told you.
I don't think it's probably the obligation of the New Yorker to give a shit to play to people's ignorance.
I think that Andy Melton is really we should really consult him because he has got the pulse on the finger of idiocy. I mean, he lives in the middle of the Bible Belt.
Yes, and that is the center of idiocy, without a doubt.
Ground zero of morons.
Yep.
He's online. I wonder if I could bring him in. It would be too hard for you to edit in, though. I'm not going to.
Do not do that, please.
I won't.
So, what's your opinion, dear?
Who's mine?
Yeah.
I agree with a lot of what Vera says, but at the same time,
God forbid you should completely agree.
It's art. It's art, and I think it's high art because it's extremely brilliant. And there's no way on, you know, to have an argument is it appropriate or not is kind of pointless to me, because it's art, it's freedom of expression, and it's there. And what bothers me about it, what bothers me about the whole controversy is Obama's reaction to it, you know?
Yep.
Is that he's, you know, getting all defensive about it, and he's saying it's inappropriate. But then if he says it's inappropriate,
he's just said that it's more of an insult to Muslims than it is to him, was his most recent comment. Because it's portraying Muslims as all being terrorists. And so he said it's insulting to Muslims than it is to me.
I don't know. It still sounds like a calculated response.
Well, he's a fucking politician. What do you want?
Yeah. Politicians are never, ever going to tell, you know, what they really feel about the issue. I mean, that's the whole point. Of course, Muslims would be pissed off in the sense that, like, they should be pissed off because this country does have it out for Muslims, and ever since 9/11, you know, they're the new enemy.
But it's still for this, you know, for the Muslims to be pissed off, I mean, then if they're pissed off, then they also don't have the same irony and sarcasm and sense of humor. And granted, that's understandable.
I'm saying pissed off in the sense that, you know, this country does have it out for them. So it just represents what's there.
The thing is that's good about it and important is things like that serve a really important purpose, which is they get people talking. It's just like we've talked about this before, like that movie Crash really got people talking about racism. And anytime you have something like that that arouses a good conversation. And see, that's the difference. This is arousing. Here's something in the news that's getting mainstream attention, that's actually getting, arousing discussion. You know, it's finally something that isn't Brad Jelena's baby. And regardless of if it's wrong or right, the New Yorker has accomplished something. They have gotten people to talk about what everybody else is keeping in the closet because you're not supposed to talk about
racism,
at what price?
Because the middle of this country is going to view that magazine as being factual. That's my issue.
It's not the magazine's job to play to the stereotypes of ignorance.
Did I say it was?
I don't know if there's, I don't know at what price. I don't see really a price. I don't know what it's going to affect. You know, the elections are so fucked up anyway, as we've often discussed. And, you know, the fact that McCain could even get more than 10% of the vote is a testament to the extreme stupidity of this country. So,
aren't his numbers going up, by the way?
I have no idea.
I think they're going up. Yeah, his numbers are going up.
He's a walking hemorrhoid with Alzheimer's disease. You know, and when you have that, when you look at the past elections, which were all basically, how could the Democrat lose? I mean, for real, especially the last one. How could anyone lose that fucking thing? You know, so when you have nothing to lose, and probably the editors of the New Yorker thought the same thing, like, you know what? We have nothing to lose, and we are sorry if America is too stupid to get this, but we're not going to dumb down our magazine because of that. And that's what the New Yorker does. They have their own standards. You know, most of their cartoons, the average person wouldn't get. The difference is they won't open the fucking magazine. But, you know, they're not going to lower their standards and not print something which is, you know, funny to them and within their editorial point of view because people are too stupid to understand it, who don't even read the magazine. And what about The Onion? I mean, come on. The Onion is completely sarcastic, but it's so over the top that I guess nobody believes it. But don't tell me
there aren't people in
Bumblefuck that don't think that's the truth. You know, just like the Weekly World News.
Something like almost half of, you know, high school students in this country think we were on the side of Germany during World War II. So, I mean, you know, people will believe anything.
And wasn't there something in the last week about how Bill Clinton folds up his first lady's dress and calls
it
a night or something? You know, I could just picture people in Andy Melton's, like, I would say neighborhood, but more like parish, saying, dang, I didn't know he's a transvestite, too.
That's a dude, and he likes dresses.
He a dude that like dude.
I always knew he was kind of a faggot.
Yeah, because he liked them fat women. Jews, even. You know, Lewinsky was a Jew.
Oh, I have to tell you guys, too, to listen. You know, I'm a big fan of Terry Gross.
I know, you talk about her every fucking week.
Oh, Edith. She did this wonderful show with this guy who wrote a book about Obama and basically his story of, like, how he got involved in Chicago politics and really how he, you know, is a creature of the political machine. And that's not a negative. I'm not putting that in a negative context.
Oh, no, that's great. That's great news. It's not negative. It's a wonderful characteristic.
It's whatever. I'm just saying, like, I don't, it's not that I'm trying to get a jab in one way or the other, but the story really does show that this man is not like, because I think a lot of people thought he arrived on the scene as this sort of, you know, Messiah person. Yeah. And if you understand where he came from and what he did to get where he is, I think you'll just appreciate him on a more
No, they had somebody on Democracy Now talking about that. It was a woman, Natalie, I forget, but she was talking about the same book.
The book is called, let me get it for you, Ryan Lizza, and he's a correspondent for The New Yorker. It doesn't say the name of the book.
The New Yorker? Huh, no wonder.
But it was the show for the 14th, if people are interested.
Fresh Air is a podcast, right? Also,
yeah, it's available by podcast.
Because I was thinking about that yesterday. Like, I can't picture you listening to the radio for some reason.
I don't. I don't even have a radio.
Like, I didn't think so. Well, we talked about that a lot last week, so I don't know. But I was just curious what you guys think about that cover. That's all. I mean,
I think it's hysterically funny, but like I've already said, I think it's going to backfire.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like those Muslim cartoons. Remember, you know, like to me, the mere fact that it got people talking about the issue, because there's a lot of people that don't understand Islam or have these notions or stereotypes that they're carrying around that they may, you know, see themselves as very sort of open-minded people, but they harbor these sort of, you know,
right,
canards about, you know, people of darker skin that worship someone named Allah. So, but the good thing about that controversy was it got a lot of people talking.
Right. And you know what? I don't think the Muslims, and I hate to even refer to them, like there's a consensus, you know,
yeah,
like there's just one type of a Muslim. But I haven't seen any reaction to it like you did with the cartoons. And I think if the fundamentalists were going to be mad about that, they would have expressed that by now. But who doesn't want, you know, I think probably everywhere in the rest of the world, Arabs, non-Arabs want Obama to be president as opposed to McCain. I mean, so maybe they're just shutting up about it. I don't know.
Well, the other thing I want to say is like, who cares if he was a Muslim? I mean, really? Who gives
right, and that really should be the issue. But he wasn't a Muslim.
No, you know, he never has been.
No.
But you know, you can well imagine him getting votes if not only was he black, but he was a Muslim as well. I mean, you know, President McCain, hi, how are you?
Well, see, for example, my congressman is the first Muslim congressperson, and he's black. And now clearly I live in like the most liberal district in the state of Minnesota, which is pretty liberal to begin with. But you know, I think of him, I think like, what an affront to him,
yeah,
that people are, you know, like running out of, like running over each other to say, he's not a Muslim, he's not a Muslim.
Muslim, you know? I'm sure they say it that way too.
Well, that's, I think, the appropriate pronunciation.
Of course it is for you, and for me and Cheryl too, for that matter. But I want to recommend a movie that I watched called The Kite Runner. Have you seen it?
Oh my God, we couldn't get through that.
Really?
It was it was set. The beginning was so upsetting, and that whole setup was so upsetting that we had to turn it off.
Which beginning? Before they went to the flashback or after?
Well, what happens to the kids?
Oh, well, that was in the middle.
Yeah, we just couldn't go on anymore.
Yeah, okay, I can understand.
I didn't
that.
See
but,
it.
But it really puts a sort of a human face to the Afghans. And it brought up a lot of issues about racism too. So,
have you seen
the? I remember thinking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Wanda. I've been talking a lot.
I was just going to say that I remember before we went to war, even with Afghanistan, I just thought, you know, this just is really sad because those poor people have suffered enough, and here we go again. And now, how many years later, and you know, we're still.
They really have, and it really shows, like, I mean, the communists were brutal, and the Taliban were just as brutal. And it just shows you, wow, this is what happens when people don't give a fuck, you know? That's how I interpret it, of course. But, like, it really motivated me in a way to sort of, you know, give a shit again, because, you know, when you have a situation, which we're coming to here, because our economy's, you know, falling apart, but it's likely
not,
that it's
not according to Bush. According to Bush, it's getting better.
Well, exactly. Uh-huh. Case in point.
Yeah.
And who's ever lied more consistently than him?
Well, but, it just astounds me that don't forget your point. It just astounds me that I have never in my life experienced a run on a bank before. Yeah. But there's a run on a goddamn bank.
Oh, yeah, and they're arresting people now, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But goddamn it, the economy's better. Go ahead with your point.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there was, you know, the FDIC beefed up for this a while ago, so it shouldn't be any surprise, but people have been paying attention to, like I said yesterday in my program, the wrong things. But so you have the runs. What were we talking about? I really wanted to finish the point. What was it? Just help me.
Afghanistan. You got involved. You're like, this is what motivated.
Oh,
me
yeah.
To
so,
get-
so now that we have the situation where, you know, the economy is about to really, you know, it's crashing, but it hasn't gotten anywhere near the bottom that it's going to get. And when it gets there, then you're going to have desperate people. And that's when you have the perfect environment for a Hitler or a Taliban. You know, if you think Bush is bad, you know, we ain't seen nothing yet. And that's what scared me and really, you know, showed me about this movie is, you know, the Taliban came out of these fucking revolts against the communists, and they had these beard patrols where they'd literally go around and arrest people who didn't have beards. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that was hell on the women.
And they were stoning them in public as recently as in the year 2000.
And there's a problem with that?
Well, the Bible says to do it, so no, it's fine.
That's right.
But that could easily happen here. I mean, look at the fundamentalist population we have here. Look at how many people. Do you realize how many people would go for it? A strict interpretation, a Taliban-like interpretation of the Bible? I mean, it's like, that's why it's so important to, like, for people to pay attention to what's going on and understand the situation and educate themselves about economics and try to, you know, prevent it. You know, at least you can prepare for catastrophe. You know, you can save money instead of buying iPod phones or whatever.
I think, too, like, I get worried not just by the crazies, you know, on the right, but I get anytime somebody what I worry about more is not people with extremist views. It's the people in the middle who go along with things because they don't think it affects them that much. So the fact that people aren't outraged. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Was that a slam?
No.
Okay.
I get more concerned with people who will let things like FISA happen, who will let things like habeas corpus, you know, like the things that people are just like, yeah, well, if you're not doing anything bad, it's no big deal. Because then 20 years down the road, before you know it, everybody's like, well, because people don't just overnight become monsters. It's a slow process, and people, you know, ultimately don't think they're doing anything wrong. But do you see what I'm saying? It's like we're all just like cattle being herded and, you know, like, oh, but there's a reason for it. And
you know, and the other thing is, and this doesn't get through, and I'm certainly no help in this regard, but, you know, there is potential at this point in time to turn it all around. I mean, all it would take is awareness and action, basically. You know, but the awareness it would have to take is so drastic that I don't, you know, the only way I see anything's going to happen is grassroots by people just talking about it and completely bypassing the media, which will do nothing but support corporations because that's their function effectively. Mm-hmm. You know, so but I do think it's possible to turn it around. I do, of course. I mean, you know, there's so many resources. There's so much, you know, so much of the problems we're having right now is corporate corruption. If not, yeah, most of it. Global warming, corporate corruption. Food shortage, corporate corruption. You know, nature, corporate corruption, if you interpret it as because of global warming. You know? And I just think if people would stop buying into this market rules all mentality, I don't fucking know. We only have 5 minutes left. Let's talk about Brangelina. What they should name their twins. I just hate MSN. I just hate it. You know, here that you have this pulpit where you can talk to millions of people at once, the MSN homepage, and it's always just, not just stuff you don't care about, but it's stuff that's like violently bullshit.
Now,
it's like aggressively bullshit.
To be fair, because, you know, I'm eminently fair, you can choose on MSN what news you want. You choose what newspapers headlines you want on your homepage, and therefore you can pull
if
up.
If you use MSN and you give a shit, I don't. I use it to check my Hotmail, and occasionally the computer just goes there if I haven't set a default, like when I go into Windows.
I see.
The fact of the matter is, most people aren't going to customize it. Yes, you're correct, but because, most people aren't going to do that.
Have you seen the latest Jib Jab? Do you know what Jib Jab is?
I'm looking at the homepage right now, and I see that, but I don't know. I know Jibber Jabber's from the Boston Legal.
No. Jib Jab is a website where they do satirical parody, among many other things, with the heads. It's hysterical. You have to watch the Time for Some Campaigning. Uh-huh. They're really terrific. A friend of mine does a lot of the voices for it, but even beyond that, they're really clever. And they tear the shit out of both sides. They make fun of McCain and Obama. They make fun of everybody. And you should look at it. Jibjab.com and look at Time for Some More Campaigning.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing that keeps rolling around in my head every time anyway, I'm not going to go into a long thing other than the thing that's been rolling around in my head is it's like we're just, you know, the American people don't want to admit who they are. They are consumers.
They don't know who they are.
Obsessed. Well, however you want to word it, let's not get caught up on the semantics. Semantics from Bewitched. People want, they want it all. They want to have everything that they can get for cheap. And so, like, I was listening to the show on airlines and all these people that were so angry, like you could hear the anger in these people's voices because of the way they're treated when they're sitting on an airplane and they don't, you know, they got to pay for peanuts and $15 to do their luggage. It's like, is that really the thing you can get most vehemently angry about? It's like,
it's because
like,
it directly affects them.
Yeah,
it directly affects them, and they don't have they don't have the vision to see that there are things that affect them much more profoundly, but not directly, and that's the problem.
So, but what I'm saying is, then they'll go sit down after they get off the plane, and they'll go, you know, watch some documentary about the Earth, and they'll feel like, oh my God, we're all going to hell, and we should really do something. But God damn it, I am not paying $15 to get my luggage checked.
Or
I mean,
same with the price of gas, same with the price of fuel, the price of all this. Yeah, I mean, there's a schizophrenia involved, an inconsistency, definitely.
Terribly. And I'm just grateful that I'm poor, and I'm not poor. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm grateful too that I ride a bike and that I don't own a car, because I feel like I don't have to get used to a new lifestyle.
I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say.
Well, you're a baroness, so you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, I'm a baroness, and we've run out of time.
Thank Christ.
The baroness of bad news.
Uh huh.
That's good news. What are you talking about?
But that's a good topic. Next, maybe sometime we should talk about that, because it just pisses me off to no end to hear people bitch and moan about shit that I don't really. I'm grateful I don't have to worry about.
I'm grateful that my vagina smells.
Because
it gives me something to do. There's nothing like smelling your own pussy. You two wouldn't know about that because you don't actually have real vaginas.
Can I ask you a question? Why is it that in straight porn, men stick their penises in women's buttholes, and then they take it out and make the women taste it.
Well, you know, there's common themes in porn. It always happens. Like, I remember, like, 10 years ago, the big thing was they would, and this is in gay porn, because I had to do a research fellowship on gay pornography at the
Vassar
Center. Right, Vassar, right. Yeah. No, this wasn't Vassar. Vassar was years and years ago. It was some other very important place.
Oh.
But the big thing then was, like, in all the porno movies, like, the guys would ejaculate, and then they would just start having sex again right after that. Like, the editing was like, okay, I'm going to fuck you. And then they come, and then immediately they start fucking again with a hard-on.
Mm-hmm. Not without and popsicle then, sticks and masking tape.
And, like, I've noticed, like, do you know that guy Lucas, Michael Lucas?
Yeah.
He's a friend of Lady Bunny's. He does these porno movies, and in his porno movies, he started doing this thing where he makes all the guys push out their assholes. He's like, push it out, let me see it. It's like, Cheryl, push it out, and they, like, basically have to do a duty thing. It's like your duty, and if you got duty out there, up there, a turd's just going to pop out. But the effect it does is to make your... Anyway, that's one of them, too. But that's the other thing I notice in the gay porn, too. All the porns, it's not just straight porn, is they fuck the guy in the ass, and then they got to suck it. It's just a thing that's going on right now. It's I guess it's because we don't have enough diseases spreading.
Well, that and the choking, and it seems to be prevalent in the straight videos. The straight videos, they like to make the women choke. And I'm like, how is that? That is not...
Choke on the dick or just choke with their hands?
Yeah, no, choke on the penis to the point where, like, they're practically vomiting. And I think...
Oh, that I ain't seen.
Who... Just like a woman... I just don't understand.
Well, there's a lot you can interpret from our society based on what goes on in pornographic movies. But since I'm a very important lesbian and... You know, who studies these things, I would be talking over your head by explaining it.
Well,
I'm sorry.
That's true.
Nothing personal, ladies.
As long as you're not talking with your head up my ass.
Right, because I've spent years studying the personal hygiene and sexual habits of gay men, particularly in restrooms. I've written papers. Okay? Papers.
Vera, do you watch porn?
Yeah, I have, you know, I'll watch XTube on occasion or something like that, you know, just, for jollies, for shits and giggles.
Oh, I know we're not going to the zone of what kind of porn we like, because I am not having that discussion.
Well, I like
I want
to
know
I
what you like.
I like to watch men having sex.
But what kind of sex do you like to see them have?
Vanilla.
No, I don't.
No, I think Vera really likes it.
This
no.
is like I. This is like watching my parents have sex. I don't want this information. I'm sorry. I just
I do, which tells you.
I don't like picturing people I've never seen in my whole life masturbate, especially when they've described themselves so many times.
I don't think that often. Sometimes the goal of watching porn is not to end up masturbating.
Yes, to write papers like me.
Oh, God. Uh-huh. This thing has now jumped the
shark.
Well,
some people have other things to do, like especially if there's another person around. Not all of us have that luxury.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to puke from this. Seriously. I'm dry heaving right now.
You got some issues, girl. You got some major fucking issues, you know?
I think next week we need to have an entire program on porn.
Oh, my God.
Barry Manilow.
Yes.
Because I want to know if people's, you know, porn habits change over time, if, you know.
Ugh.
It really is not because I care so much about porn, but because I care, because I think it's interesting. I bet there are some ripe opportunities for research.
No, you know what? If we're going to have this discussion on this show, then we have to bring Cheryl in.
No. No. Okay, we're not having it.
Okay, thank you. End of discussion, I hope. Somebody finna close this show or what?
Please.
Oh, it's me. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Well, ladies,
minutes.
I want to say thank you for another rip-roaring episode of Tragedy. And
high
booze.
Pants.
High pants and
bags
fat
of
people.
Pudding. Big bags of pudding.
I feel so dirty now. I really do. And I just showered.
This is such an issue thing. It's
if
wild.
You can, if you
Are
can
we still
only...
on or did you end?
No, I haven't ended. If you let me goddamn finish the program!
So I liked how you put me in at the very end, Vera, last week. That was cute.
The week before, I put her in. I put Wanda in.
I didn't listen that week because that was the fighting week and it hurt.
Well, it's okay. Doesn't matter. Close the show.
If there's anything worth talking about next week and we haven't all exploded and gone the way of the dodo bird, we'll be here on another episode of Eat This Hot Show.
And don't forget, you can comment on this show at eatthishotshow.com. A lot of people don't know that we have a website.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yes, we do have a website. And if you'd like to redo the website.
Oh, fuck.
Or if you have comments.
No,
yes,
please.
We need a new theme. We need a new theme.
We need a new, we need a new website, a theme for the website, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. One that doesn't run comments over into the side thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Preferably. Right. Okay, bye!
Bye, hormone.
Bye.
Wait, we didn't give our websites out.
WandaWisdom.com!
YeastRadio.com. Oh, shut up. YeastRadio.com and VeraSpeaks.com.
All right, I'm hitting the off button now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Did you really just pull that out of your ass?